All right, let me jump into today's Right Side Way monologue. And, you know, in a minute, too, if you're watching on the live stream, JP is going to put a picture up on the screen that is significant to what I'm talking about. But let me just start off by saying exactly 2 years ago today, on November 8th of 2022, we had the midterm elections. The results were resoundingly tepid. Republicans were beaten down, beleaguered, and apathetic. We have been bamboozled and browbeaten for 2 years in the wake of COVID and BLM riots and January 6th accusations. We had weak leadership on our side that did nothing much worthwhile when it came to seizing ground and taking our country back. The 2022 midterms were a watershed moment of political mediocrity for Republicans. But this year was different. This year we turned out. This year, with new leadership and a renewed sense of purpose, we took our country back. And we did it with a whole new team and a fresh set of eyes. So yeah, this week we finally had an election day to celebrate, finally. For the better part of a year and a half, we have been inundated with ads regaling us with information and insight and innuendo about who to vote for. We watched lawfare and insults and accusations. But this week it all came down to you. You just went to the polls, did that thing that much of the world can't do. We all cast our votes for the candidate or the cause that we have decided to vote for. Democrats and their liberal media allies gave us grave warnings. They warned that warned the whole world that democracy was on the ballot. People like Biden and Harris and Schumer and Pelosi, they invoked visions of Nazis and fascists and tyrants. They harped that if those mega Republicans got control, that it could end the American way of life. It's as if democracy is supposed to be a one-way street for one-party rule, as far as they talk. The leftist mantra is that no one else can have a differing opinion. Well, a couple of years ago, I actually rolled my eyes when some yokel named Andrew Gawthorpe wrote a piece that came out in The Guardian titled, "The Future of American Democracy is at Stake in the Elections." I kid you not. In one overreaching paragraph filled with sensationalistic hyperbole, Gawthorpe said, here's what he said. "Never before in American history," he said, "has there been an organized movement which was only one vote away from having the motivation and opportunity to make that America's last. That election, America's last. Never, that is," he said, "until now. Today's anti-democratic movement is propelled by genuine controversy and scandal. It's a commitment to ending competitive elections in the United States." Good Lord. People like Gawthorpe, they are the problem. I challenge him, Gawthorpe, to ever show me one place he spent time where democracy was truly considered risky. You see, what Biden, Harris, Schumer, Pelosi, and Mr. Andrew Gawthorpe don't seem to get is that what we witness this week is not the end of democracy. It is democracy. The idea that people with a sovereign right to their own notions can have a constitutional right to elect their representative government is, in fact, the hallmark of democracy. When a voter goes to the polls, casts their vote to either vote someone in or vote someone out, they are, in fact, doing exactly what the Founding Fathers hoped for. And I got to tell you, when I hear rhetoric like Gawthorpe, I have memories that stand out of what it's really like to see democracy at its formative level, in a manner in which it is absolutely risky to even cast a vote. And folks, we are not there. But there's a thing that I experienced once. I mean, I can still look back to a time when myself, my team sergeant, and my team, we were posted outside of Baghdad City Hall. Baghdad City Hall in the year 2004. The building was called the Amanat. We were there in 2004, exactly 20 years ago, to safeguard the selection of the first ever freely determined mayor of Baghdad. I had several interactions with Mayor Al-Tamimi after that. I didn't really like him, but he served, and he wore a bulletproof vest everywhere he went. And I also have a picture that I still carry in my wallet from around that same time. It's up on the screen right now if you're watching the live stream. I have this picture that I carry in my wallet. I've talked about it before, and some of you heard me mention it in speeches, but it bears describing again today. It's a fairly innocuous-looking, tattered photograph that I actually carry in my wallet, but knowing what it represents makes it one of the most profound photos I've ever had in my life. I mean, if you look at it, the picture is just a group of men sitting around a table. And that group of men, by the way, is the first ever elected city council for the Rasafa district of Baghdad. A group of men who chose to run for office at the real threat of their lives. In the picture, third from the right, is Sheikh Majid. Second from the right is a man who became my real friend, Dr. Abdul Qadim. Sheikh Majid, he was assassinated for daring to serve on the council. And Dr. Qadim, He survived being shot in the head, but he was never the same after that. But in that photograph, both men were still serving as the chair and the vice chair of the council. And I'll never forget one moment in that same council meeting, the one where that picture was taken. In that same council meeting, when the roll was called, there was one member missing. And through my interpreter, I came to understand that the person had resigned because his family had been threatened. And the room sat there kind of quietly for a minute. And then one of the members said, "I believe that we are allowed to vote for his replacement." It was amazing to watch. Now keep in mind, the entire population of Iraq up to that point, including these men, they had lived for decades under a tyrant who dictated their every move. And that self-determination, it could have taken you away during the night by the secret police if you dared to try and have some measure of self-determination. There was no such thing as voting in Saddam's Iraq, not for anything. But here we were, at the time that picture was taken, standing by as a council of men figured out what self-determination and elected governance was supposed to look like. So in that particular moment, when they had the vacancy, Dr. Khatam, he turned to the council, he opened the floor for nominations. At that point, someone made a nomination, and Dr. Khatam called for the vote. Y'all, you could have heard a pin drop. They voted by a show of hands, and I swear, some of them were like they were ducking their heads down as they raised their hands up. It was like it was painful for them. It would have been amusing if it wasn't so solemn. But then Dr. Khatam declared the outcome of the vote, and everybody kind of looked up, and somebody started laughing, and someone else started clapping, and the whole room broke out into applause and congratulations and backslapping. And y'all, it was really something special to see. It was people experiencing firsthand what an incredible thing it is to cast the simplest of votes, to make themselves known in the selection of someone who will govern. It was really kind of humbling to be there. I have kept their picture with me ever since that time. And that picture was actually part of my own motivation to run for office myself back in 2010. I remember thinking, if I could sit there and watch these men under a threat of their very lives, one of whom was assassinated while I was there, if I can watch them serve in elected capacity under a threat of death, then what's keeping me from running? So I ran myself. It was a kind of vote that day that we Americans would take for granted. It was informal. It was not a big deal. But like I said, two of those men were attacked for being a part of it. It was grassroots democracy, y'all. And when the time came for me to leave Baghdad, I made it a point to find my way back to that council, and I told them all that one day their children would study their names in the history books because they were all heroes. So here's the deal. What those men that I knew bled for in Iraq was the right to do something that we as Americans too often take for granted. And yet for us, it's a right that's enshrined in our Constitution. People like Biden and Harris and Pelosi and Schumer and knuckleheads like Andrew Gawthorpe, they may try to declare with a straight face that the very act of casting a vote for our chosen candidate is somehow a threat to democracy. But when they do that, it's not only disingenuous, it's dangerous. It's wrong. It's a lie. Those men that I carry around in that picture in my wallet, they knew that maintaining the status quo was not to the benefit of their society. So they participated in the change, and they became a society that votes. And Democrat fearmongers, they all wanted us to sit still this past week. They all wanted us to be quiet, to make no changes, to maintain their version of status quo, to sit idly by and let them just do what they will. But we did not. Because inherently built into democracy is the freedom to push for change. This week, America voted overwhelmingly to change our status quo. We voted like our life depended on it. We voted despite the threats and the innuendos and the efforts made to gaslight us into some kind of sheepish acquiescence. Because that is democracy. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.